Soul.
Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards, and this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rouleau. Today, I'm so happy to have this returning guest with me today. He is John Russell. John is the International Firebird Book Award winner of the book titled 20 Ways to Increase Your Psychic Abilities. He has been a professional psychic for over 50 years. Internationally known, he has provided psychic readings for clients in over 40 countries and has authored 4 multi-award-winning books about his real-life experiences with the spiritual world. And today, we are chatting about his newest book titled The Crying Tree and the Magic Rock. So I welcome you back to the network, John.
Oh, Pat, thank you so much. It's wonderful to be back with you. We always have such a good conversation. And I want to wish you and the listeners a Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you. So kind. Yes, I want to be sure our listeners know that we do have a previous interview that's already posted on the site in addition to what we're doing today. So they need to listen to both. All right. In our previous one, we talked about your first book, Riding with Ghosts, Angels, and the Spirits of the Dead, and your second book, A Knock in the Attic, as well as 20 Ways to Increase Your Psychic Abilities.
Right.
And now we have The Crying Tree and the Magic Rock. So maybe just give us a little peek into that book.
Oh, this is, I tell you, I am so proud of all of my books, but this one kind of holds a special place in my heart. It just came out. It just came out in October, so it's brand new. And this is a book that I've done some new things in. I went back to experiences I had in my childhood, spiritual, psychic, paranormal experiences that I had in my childhood, and wrote about those. I've never written about those before, and very seldom talked about them in interviews. So that's something new for the readers. That's kind of exciting. And then I just let spirit take me where it wanted, and I included every kind of story in here you can imagine. The main thrust of the book is I wanted people to understand that we're constantly surrounded by sacred moments. That in every moment we're in, there's something sacred, and there's some way to obtain communication with the other side, communication with spirit, so that we can grow in our understanding, gain some comfort, gain some insight, gain something positive for our lives. And that's really what I wanted the readers to get out of this, is that every moment is a sacred moment, and you don't have to be sitting in a seance room holding hands and calling upon the spirit and gazing into the crystal ball or whatever. You can be sitting outside in the yard on a bright sunny day and have a dynamic spiritual revelation. One of the chapters in the book is titled A Sacred Moment with a Taco.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this spiritual revelation while I was sitting eating a taco at lunch one day. So all these moments in our lives are sacred moments if we take the time to connect with that and tune into that and appreciate that.
So, so true. And I like that you presented these as standalone stories rather than trying to come up with a storyline and
right.
present them that way. It gives you more of the feeling that this is possible for all of us because these were individual standalone occurrences
absolutely.
That happened to you. So I think that was
absolutely.
Smart.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I try and write all my books that way. I don't try and build a story arc. The story arc, if there is one, is that, you can't make an appointment with a UFO. You know, these events happen to us sometimes when we least expect them to. And you have to take what's in that moment and analyze it and learn from that moment and learn that particular lesson, because each experience is its own lesson, its own reason for being, its own moment in time, has its own context. And so I do that. I examine each story individually, tell you what I learned from that, what you can learn from that, how you can apply that to your life. So each story does stand on its own, and yet there is kind of a story arc in a way, too, with each book.
Yes, absolutely. Being a cat mom, I'm interested to share a little bit more about your chapter, Gizmo's Return. So maybe give our pet lovers a little peek into that.
Yeah, Gizmo's Return. You know, I very first wrote about that in my first book, Riding with Ghost Angels and the Spirits of the Dead. And Gizmo was a beloved, beloved kitten that became our pet cat. And at the time, I was married to my first wife, and I had this big red Doberman named Elsa. And she was absolutely fascinated with Gizmo. And long story short, we'd had Gizmo. He had grown up a little bit and was just one of the sweetest, most delightful cats I had ever known. And pet lovers will relate to this. I would pick him up and hug him and hold his little paw, hold his face next to mine and sing to him, and we would dance around the house. And he just loved that. He would just purr and purr and purr. And he became a real-life Garfield. I mean, he would sit on the floor and his little belly would hang on the floor because he ate like Garfield. He just constantly, and anything. He would eat lettuce. He would eat Doritos. He could eat anything. It was just bizarre. So he was such a sweet delight and such a wonderful little cat. And this was back in the day that typically we let our cats out at night, you know. Mm-hmm. And so he would be an inside and an outside cat. And I learned life lessons from that experience. I don't do that with any of my animals since then. They're all inside animals all the time. Mm-hmm. But with Gizmo, we'd let him out at night. And he would come and jump and land on the screen door and hang there just like a suction cup Garfield on a car window. He would just hang there till we woke up and came and opened the main door and opened the screen door and pulled him off the screen. He would just hang there like that. And Elsa would sit there, my Doberman, she'd just look at him like that was the funniest thing she ever saw. So one night, it was the night before Thanksgiving. It was Thanksgiving Eve. And I was sitting watching TV, and we had the main door open. I had the storm door with a window you could slide up and had the window screen there then, you know, so we could get a little breeze in. It was warm. This was in West Texas. And I had an uncharacteristically warm night. So I was sitting there watching TV. Oh, boy, my little dog's going to start barking.
That's
now.
That's okay. He's part of the conversation.
Part of the conversation now. He's barking on the truth. So anyways, sitting there watching TV, and Gizmo goes to the door and starts just frantically, I mean just hysterically, clawing at this door to go outside. And I was right in the middle of something that I was really interested in watching, and I said, just a minute, I'll let you out in just a minute, calm down. And he just kept going crazier and crazier and just clawing at this door, and I was like, what in the world? He had never acted that way. And I was like, okay. So I got up and I let him out. He went outside, and I went and sat back down and resumed watching my program. And in a little bit, about, I guess, 5 or 10 minutes, something like that, one of the neighbors came and knocked on the door and said, God, we hate to tell you this, but Gizmo's laying out in the street dead, been hit by a car. And I was just absolutely, totally, completely crushed. And I could not understand, and I don't to this day, his just frantic desire to go outside and then get hit by a car, and he's laying there dead. Mm-hmm. So there was no cause for Thanksgiving that Thanksgiving. That just absolutely crushed my heart.
Yep.
And long story short, again, it's in the book if you want to read all the details of it. It's in the first book and the updates on the Crying Tree and the Magic Rock. But my wife and I divorced. I'd moved back into my family home and took Elsa, my big Doberman, with me. And she had an outside pen. And again, that was back in the time that, you know, animals were outside and came and went inside. And so I was out on the front porch one weekend on a stepladder changing a light bulb on the front porch. And this cat come flying around the corner up onto the porch, just meowing and carrying on. And there were no cats in the neighborhood. We didn't have any stray cats in the neighborhood. Hadn't seen any cats since we moved in. Since I'd moved back home. And this cat was the spitting image of Gizmo grown up. Mm. And he just come running up on the porch, running up to me, and then he ran to the screen door and started pawing at it to get in. And I was like, this is insane. And I just said, Gizmo? You know, is it you? Mm-hmm. And he was just loving on me and just clawing to get in the house. And I was like, my God, this is mind-blowing. And I let him in. And he was just rubbing on me and just purring. And, I mean, he was the exact spitting image of Gizmo if he had become full grown. And so I had been washing clothes. And the clothes washer had stopped. And I thought, okay, I've got to go and get my clothes out of the washer. We didn't have a dryer in the house. We had a clothesline outside. And we hung our clothes outside. So I'm trying to function. I'm looking at this cat following me around that's a spitting image of Gizmo and had run up on the porch out of the blue, out of nowhere, clawing to get inside, and no stray cats in the neighborhood. And I got to hang my clothes out. So he's rubbing around my legs and everything while I'm putting the clothes in the basket, take them outside and hang them up. And we go out the back, and he's jumping up in the air, rubbing against the basket as I'm carrying it, and he's rubbing on me, and I'm like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. And about this time, he spies Elsa, and Elsa spies him, and Elsa lets out this yelp of, like, recognition. And it's like she's recognizing me like Gizmo, and he runs over to her pen to the gate. It was a chain-link pen. And he rolls down on the sidewalk in front of it and starts sticking his paw under the gate to touch her and everything. And I'm like, man, this is just getting stranger and stranger. So I hang my clothes out, and they're still over there having a reunion party. And I go inside, and stereotypical of the time, I go and get a bowl of milk to bring out for the cat, right? So I come outside, and I call, here, kitty, 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 and look around the corner, and vanished, gone. And never saw a cat in the neighborhood again. And I was like, my God, Gizmo came back in the flesh to visit me. I got to touch him, got to pet him, and then vanished. So I had never seen him again. And all these years later, now I'm living in Florida, and I'm married to my wife here. And we had been living in a different city. Had moved from that city to a new home here, kind of downsized a little bit where we're at now. And I chose a room for my office here that looks out into our backyard. And when we moved in, I installed security lights above the window, office window that looks into the backyard. I put a security light there, motion activated, put one in the front. And they never went off. And sometimes I would go outside just to walk out at night to see if they worked. And sure enough, they'd come on. So we just didn't have any activity around the motion lights. And again, there's no cats here. We've never seen a stray cat in this neighborhood. We've lived here 3 years, never seen a cat. So I've gotten really gimped up in my old age. And what's really hilarious is that I can do healing work on other people effectively, and it works for them. Can't do much for myself, so I've gotten really gimped up. And all kinds of health and mobility issues. So long gone are the days that I could just jump up and run to the window and look out. That doesn't exist anymore. And I was sitting there one night, and one morning, I usually get up around 4 or 5 in the morning, and I came into my office, and the security light went off outside my office window, so I opened the blinds, looked out, and there was nothing there, nothing going on, no movement. I was like, well, okay, that's pretty weird. So I kept watching for a while till the light went back off, and no movement, nothing set it off again. So, okay, closed my blinds, started my day, went on about my day. And then that night, I'd close the blinds, and I'm sitting in the living room. You can see my office window from our living room. And my wife and I were sitting watching TV, and the security light went off. And she was up, and I said, run in there real quick and open my blinds, see what's setting that light off. So she went in there, and she said something like, what in the world? And I was like, what? What is it? And she said, there's a cat sitting outside staring at your office window. And I said, what kind of cat? She said, a gray tabby, which is what Gizmo was. And I was like, oh, my God. And I said, what's it doing? She said, it's just sitting there staring at me through the window. And she said, now I got up and walked off toward the patio and just disappeared. I was like, holy cow. So I'm firmly convinced that Gizmo kept track of me, came back in the flesh yet again, strong enough to set off that security camera and for her to see him and let me know that he's there, that life continues for animals in the spirit, and that they love us. Still want to look us up, still want to connect with us, remember us. And so that's one of the cherished stories in the new book, The Crying Tree and the Magic Rock.
See, I love that story for so, so many reasons. And it gives people so much hope, because once you lose a little pet, you know, you're just left wondering. And so this kind of gives you a little bit of renewed hope that,
They're still there. They remember us. They still love us. They still want to be with us. So that's a cherished story for you, me, and a lot of folks that hear it.
Absolutely. You know, John, you've had over 1,000 paranormal experiences.
Way over,
Yeah. Why?
Well, you know, I've been a magnet for it my entire life. And it never has frightened me. I've been open to it. I've been receptive to it. And it just the stuff comes to me like, you know, bees to flowers. It's just like, it's just my way of life and has been since I was 5 years old. And I enjoy it. And I think maybe one of the reasons that I get so many and such a variety of experiences is that I was meant to experience these things and then write these books and share these things with other people as to what they've taught me and to what they can learn from it and what they can apply to their own lives.
Right.
So I think that may be one of the main reasons.
Right, just part of your life's journey. So can anyone have these extra worldly experiences?
Yeah, they can. And that's some of the techniques I teach in my third book, 20 Ways to Increase Your Psychic Abilities. It's to do that, to teach people how to connect with the other side and how to connect with these experiences and what to expect from them, what to learn from them. And it's not anything scary or spooky. It's not anything harmful, and it's not parlor trick stuff. It's stuff that if you take it and practice it and use it, you will benefit from it. It will enhance your life. It will give you guidance. It will give you inspiration. It will give you, lead you into ways of things that you're searching for as far as creativity or a new job or a mate or healing or whatever. It's all there, but we have to make the time to connect with it. Mm-hmm. And anybody can do it. We're all going to develop to a degree to whatever our capability is. But anybody can do that, and that's what I want people to learn.
Right. For you personally, what practices do you follow to enhance or even to protect your psychic abilities?
You know, it's not been anything that I've really had to do. Mm-hmm. It's just there every day, and it's just like a runner has a gift to run, and he just gets up and runs every day. And like a pianist, he has that gift to play music, and he practices. And, you know, I practice my techniques. I practice the things I'm given, but they've just kind of always been there. The other side has always kind of taught me these things directly. And I have studied a lot. I have searched things out. But it's just, to me, it's been a matter of just getting up and just living it every day. I just experience it every day. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to encourage other people to do, is to realize it doesn't have to be here's my work day, now I'm home, here's my spiritual connection. It doesn't have to be that. You can meld the two together where your spiritual connection works for you and guides you all day long, while you're at work, while you're at lunch, while you're going to the library, while you're shopping, whatever. You can make that a continuum where you're always tuned into that spiritual realm, letting it guide you and letting it protect you.
Right. It's just a matter of wanting that, looking for it, being open to it. Just the awareness. And I think so many of us probably have these moments or these occurrences, and you shake it off as, oh, well, that's, you know, the coincidence.
Or my imagination or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I tell my clients that all the time, and I tell people in interviews all the time. I say, look, when these things happen, don't brush them off. Don't shake your head and say, oh, that's my imagination, or oh, it's just coincidence. That's the other side communicating with you. And when you reject or rebuff or ignore those communications, it makes it more and more difficult for the other side to connect with you and to get your attention.
For some reason, I'm getting this feeling that you do have to somehow protect your ability. And so maybe one of the answers is that if you shun it or avoid it or don't pay attention, then it doesn't readily come to you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. So you have to be attuned. You have to be paying attention. You have to be open. You have to be receptive. And you have to realize that, you know, again, and we talked about this, I think, a little bit in our first interview, the portrayal of the other side by the ghost hunter shows on TV and things like that, that's not reality. There's not all these demons out there just waiting to jump on you and tear your life apart and do all this stuff. That's not how it is to interact with the paranormal realm. If people will get my books and read my books, they'll discover what it's really like to have a psychic gift, what it's really like to interact with the spiritual realm, with the paranormal realm, with these experiences. And it's overwhelmingly beneficial and positive. Now, if you go into it with a disrespectful attitude, if you go into it frightened, expecting to be scared or expecting to be harmed or whatever, that's what you're going to attract. But you're not really going to attract it. You're mostly going to misinterpret what you experience.
Right. So your previous books, and you said we talked about it, it kind of dispels any misconceptions about psychics or paranormal phenomenon. Right. Do you see skepticism towards psychics? And if you do, Does it seem to be increasing or decreasing?
Oh, God, yes, there's skepticism, and it seems to be increasing.
Ah.
And this is a pendulum that kind of continually swings back and forth. There's widespread acceptance, and then it goes back to the other side of rejection and criticism and so on and so forth. And of late, I think over the past year or two especially, I have been experiencing a lot of skepticism and hostility towards people that claim a psychic gift. And it's really interesting, like in some of the interviews that I do, especially the ones that are broadcast on YouTube and where I can see the chat box on the side, people are like, oh, this, I was really interested in this guy till he said he was psychic, and that completely turned me off. You know, there's no such thing as psychics. He's full of BS. You know, that can't happen, so on and so forth. So there's just a tremendous, it's really funny. There's an openness towards paranormal experiences, but there seems to be an increased skepticism towards anybody that proclaims to have a psychic gift. And I always tell people, I say, you know, go to my website, johnrussell.net, click on my my clients' testimonials there. I've got over 80 on my website. And look at what the media have said that have worked with me. Look at what my clients have said that I've done readings for, and read what they say. Now, if I'm a phony or a, you know, whatever, that's an awful lot of people to have taken in, and an awful lot of people to say, man, I didn't know this guy from Adam. This guy didn't know me, but everything he said was right on, and all his predictions for me happened. Okay, how does that happen if you're not the real deal, you know? Mm-hmm. And I tell people, yes, there are a ton of phonies out there. There are a ton of con artists out there. There's a lot of phony psychics out there. But just because you can impersonate the real thing doesn't mean the real thing doesn't exist.
Right, right. You know, as you're saying that, at first I was surprised. I would think that maybe society is so evolved, is becoming more evolved, that they'd be open. But you said just this last year or so, and if you look at society in these last few years, everybody has become completely black and white. It's either one way or the other way, and especially politically, you know, there's no room for an open mind.
There's no room for openness. There's no room for interpretation.
Exactly.
Either my friend or my foe.
Yes.
And it's just... I think it is kind of an example of the way the country's gone. I think you're right.
Absolutely. Yeah, where kindness no longer exists. You know, if you don't agree with somebody, then you just come right out and tell them and dismiss them and do it publicly. So, maybe, hopefully the tide will turn back to a little bit more.
I hope so, and that's some of the things I write about in The Crying Tree and The Magic Rock is our need for compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the interesting and odd and unusual ways that I was taught the spiritual lesson of compassion, sometimes from nature,
right,
and all these things, and those are included in The Crying Tree and The Magic Rock. Kind of a different departure again from the other books. The same feeling, same tone, same type of experiences, but on a little deeper level, different level, and people are going to see that when they read this book. They'll understand what I mean.
Absolutely, and The Crying Tree kind of hit home for me where you have that special tree that the eyes looked like they were weeping, but and yet it turned and looked at you and when you had to cut it down. And that was such a moving story for me. I have a cottonwood that I sit underneath almost all the time, and I talk to the tree and really have become friends with this tree.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what's so funny, and I touch on this in The Crying Tree and The Magic Rock, and then I touch on it again in my upcoming book that's coming out next year. You know, used to, the mystics and the sages and the prophets and the psychics and the medicine men and so on and so forth, they all talked about the sentience in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Nature was a living, aware, conscious being, and that trees had knowledge and plants had knowledge and things. And then as it came on up and we got more educated and more into science and so on and so forth, it became popular to decry people that said that and to downplay them, to make fun of them as idiots or uneducated or stupid or superstitious or whatever. And now what's really, really funny, and I cite these things in my book and especially in the book that's coming, I have references for all these things that I've looked up. And now science is saying trees have memory.
Yes.
Plants have awareness. There's a communication system. They communicate with each other and tell each other what's going on over there in this part of the the thatch or the garden or whatever, and this and the other. So
yes,
science is now saying these things are sentient. They're aware. They have memory. They're aware of their surroundings. They're aware of what's happening to them. They're aware of what's going on. So it's really funny now to see science validating what spiritual people have said for years and years.
Exactly. Yes, it's finally catching up. Science is catching up. Wow. So such a powerful book, The Crying Tree and the Magic Rock. And you've had some great reviews already.
Yeah. Some really nice reviews. And like I say, it's just come out. It just came out in October. And, you know, it's still getting its feet under it,
uh-huh.
Still getting momentum, still getting going. But I'm so excited for this book, and it's available right now. You know, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, online, Apple Books. So it's anybody can get it anywhere they want to at their favorite online bookseller. And then I have to mention, I'm not done yet. There's the Kansack Ghost is the title of the book that's going to be coming out next year. It is completed now, and it'll be coming out hopefully around late summer, early autumn next year, maybe a little bit sooner. But it is done, and more true paranormal stories, and again, things that I've never written about before.
Yay. So excited to have that come out. But first, let's just immerse ourselves in The Crying Tree and the Magic
Yes.
Rock. I really hope folks get out and purchase this book. It would be such a lovely holiday gift, too.
Yes, just, great Christmas.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Tuck that in somebody's stocking, and it's really, truly a special, special gift. All right, my friend, if you would also then share your website and anything we missed that you wanted to highlight.
Yeah, my website for my psychic readings is johnrussell.net. And then if you want to find out more about my books or find links to purchase my books, go to johnrussellauthor.com. So it's johnrussell.net for the readings, johnrussellauthor.com for information on the books. And I keep a running tally there of upcoming books, personal appearances, book signings I'll be at, and so on and so forth. So they can find all that out at the author website, johnrussellauthor.com.
Excellent. All righty. So we're speaking with John Russell. We talked briefly about his books. I want everyone to check out all of his books, Riding with Ghosts, Angels, and the Spirits of the Dead. His second book, A Knock in the Attic, and 20 Ways to Increase Your Psychic Abilities. And if you love the story about Gizmo, you need to get a copy of The Crying Tree and the Magic Rock. Website, johnrussell.net. or johnrussellauthor.com. John, you are always a treat, and you made my day. I'm so, so happy to have had this opportunity to talk again. I encourage everyone to get copies of your books. Please come back. You are always welcome here.
I will do that. Thank you, Pat, so much. And again, Merry Christmas to you and yours and to all our listeners. And I will be back.